I've heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy, and I just wanna sing this song to ya.
A warm welcome to each one of you as we come out on this special Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we consider this to be our Christmas Sunday. There's 6 days until Christmas, and so we are approaching that time quickly. Just glad that you're here with us this morning to join us in our time together. I've spoken with a couple people that are out in their automobiles today because of colds and some other things, and so we want to welcome them to our service as well as we're broadcasting the service through the radio this morning. Well, we've been on a series of messages called Longing for Christmas, 4-part series during the Advent season, and today we're concluding that, which is part 4, and today's message is Sharing Love. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you given anyone your love today? Have you received love from anyone today who has been trying to give it to you? Giving and receiving love is the most precious experience you will have today. Not only today, but every day. For your entire life, the best gift that you can ever have is to be loved. The desire to share our life with someone is the expression of our soul, the reason we were created. And it is your soul recognizing its highest purpose. And if you're not loving people, and if you're not being loved, you're not experiencing life the way God wants you to. Have you ever tried to share your love with someone, but they would not accept it? Or has someone ever tried to share their love with you, but you were too afraid, or too mad, or too selfish, or too messed up to be able to allow them to love you? Well, Christmas is about sharing love. It's about God sharing His love with us. And if you have not received Jesus into your life, the love that God has for you, then you have not accepted God's love for you, and you are in a position of deep void and loneliness in your life. Something's missing. Something's wrong with your life, and you know it, but you're not sure what it is. People get all messed up about getting ready for Christmas, and they get confused what it is that we're trying to do anyway when we celebrate Christmas. You know, with the pandemic, it's been tough for people to get out and shopping and that kind of thing. And so there's a lot of people buying gifts online. And this is about a story of a 90-year-old grandmother. She found that she couldn't get out with the pandemic and all that was going on. And she wanted to buy presents for her family. But instead, she realized she wasn't going to be able to do that. So she wrote checks for all of them to put in their Christmas cards. And in each card, she carefully wrote, "Buy your own present." And then she sent off the cards. But after Christmas was over, she found the checks under a pile of papers on her desk. She had forgotten to put the checks in with the card. And everyone on her gift list had received a beautiful Christmas card with this message, "Buy your own gift." Well, that's a Christmas that they won't long forget. You know, giving gifts at Christmas is a very wonderful way of sharing love. Giving and receiving love is the most precious gift and experience you can have at Christmas. And do you know that the gift God wants you to have? When we celebrate Christmas, do you really know what it is that God is wanting you to experience? With all of our decorating and buying and giving and all the things we do, do you really know what it is that God wants you to experience for Christmas? And today I want to talk about that. And this is what God is seeing within us and what is happening with us. We have a desperate need to be loved. And our misunderstandings about it is what confuses Christmas to be enjoyed the way God wants it to be. Desperately inside, we are screaming out, "Love me! Love me!" And some of you may not want to admit it. You may think you don't need it, that you can pull yourself up with your bootstraps and that you can get through with it anyway, but it is a deep need in you to be loved, and especially the deep need to be loved by God. The misunderstanding that we have is that many of us don't fully understand that to love, it requires that we need God to show us how. We try to love on our own terms, and it doesn't work. It causes conflict with those that we're trying to love and be loved. We need to understand that God can teach us how to love and be loved. Because our ways are not God's ways. God's ways does something that our minds are not able to comprehend sometimes. Loving the way God loves doesn't make sense sometimes. You love somebody that doesn't love you. You love somebody that hurts you. You love somebody that treats you the way you do. That's God's love. Doesn't make sense, does it? We only want to love the people that are good to us. We only love the people that we think deserve being loved. But our ways are not God's ways. I realize that with many of us here, we're all in different stages of our spiritual journey. There are some of you here today that are trying to find out if God is real and what that means. How can you prove it? How can you get signs of it? How can I convince myself that this thing that I'm worshiping and that I've come here to church to do and that I hear sung about and talked about, how do I know that it's real? How did I know how to engage with that? And you're looking for answers. And that's okay. That might be the place that you are in your journey of life. There's nothing wrong with that because we all have to go through that. However, there might be, for some of you, you struggle in your Christian faith and you think, I don't feel like God loves me. Or really, and I think the problem with that is that I don't feel worthy enough to be loved. I don't think God should love me because I know that I'm not what I want to be and I'm probably not what God wants me to be. And so we don't feel worthy enough to be loved. And so we're having trouble letting God love us. And some of you, however, you're probably here, you've gone through your journey of faith in a way that you said, I know that God loves me. It's not because I'm worthy, but because I'm gonna believe and trust that God, what He says is true. And so you're totally committed to Jesus Christ and what He promises. And that's good because that's where that's the direction we're headed. That's the trajectory that we're on, is to get to that point where we realize it's nothing we can do except surrender our life and our heart and let God do what He says He's going to do. So no matter where you are at in your spiritual journey this morning, my prayer for today's message is that when you leave this place this morning, you would not leave in the same position or the same place you came in. That you would not leave as the same person that you came. That this service would actually become personal to you, just for you. In other words, that you would realize that God has called you here this morning to worship in this place because God had a personal message for you. He wanted to communicate something just to you. And that's what I'm praying will happen in this service, that it will be transformational. Because, you see, if you look at the news and you go out in the stores and you go out in the byways, and if you look around in the world, you're going to see that we're spinning around in a love-starved world. People are doing all kinds of senseless acts of violence and hate and anger toward other people because everybody wants to be loved and they don't feel like they're being loved and they don't feel like it's going to happen. And so the misery they're in, they're taking it out and want everybody else to have some of the same misery that they're feeling. We live in a love-starved world. And we desperately need love, though, because that's the way we were created. You look for love in your work. You look for love in your family. You look for love in your possessions. You look for love in all these different places, but it's not what you're looking for after you get them. It's not what you're longing for in those places. And it's not what your heart and soul needs. What does your heart and soul need? Your greatest need is not for money, even though we seem to think we can't get by without it, and in some ways we can. Your greatest need is not more time to do the things maybe that you would rather do than what you're doing. Your greatest need is not to somehow escape everything and get away and be on a vacation. Your greatest need is not another partner. Maybe I would be happier if I was with somebody else. Your greatest need is to be loved. Not sentimental love, not sexual love, but God's love. The Bible boldly proclaims that there is only one love in the universe that has what it takes to meet your love-starved need. And it's God's love. You can try to fill it with whatever you want, but there's only one answer and there's only one thing that will ever satisfy that. The Bible boldly proclaims that it's God's love. And that's why Christmas came. That's why it's so joyful when you understand that and you celebrate it. I pray that today the love of Christmas will become real to you and that you will find what your heart and soul is needing that is here and it's been given in the Son of God at Christmas. And because we so desperately want to be loved and because we're so willing to do desperate things to get love, that's why God's love is so different. You don't have to do anything except let God have your heart. Have you experienced that deepest love that God wants you to have? Have you experienced God's love in your own life in a way that you can say, thank God, hallelujah, I'm free. Not because I did anything, not because I'm worthy of anything, but because that's how much God loved me and that's what God came to give me. Have you experienced that God loves you, really, really loves you on your good days? And that God loves you, really, really loves you on your bad days? Why? Because that's God. The Bible tells us that God is love. God loves you when you're not lovable. God loves you when you're not doing what you're supposed to do. God loves you when things really get messed up. God doesn't stop loving you. Have you ever had a misunderstanding of God's love for you? And therefore, when God came to offer that and give you His wonderful love, you turned it away? Said, no, I'm not worth it. God loves you like no one else can. I remember before I had kids, that I said, my kids are not going to be like some of the children I saw at that time, the way they were behaving. My children weren't going to be like that. Oh, no. My kid is going to act different. And my kid is going to be what I think they should be and act the way they should. Surprise, surprise. I remember being invited over to some friend's house for dinner, and they sat me next to a one-year-old. And it was by far the grossest experience of my life at that time. Now, see, I hadn't experienced that before. And they fed this kid something that I can't really tell you what it was. It was some nasty-looking stuff. But he got these yammy yams and squeezed them in his hands, and they were shooting out of his fingers, and he was jabbering to them. And the craziest thing is his mother knew what he was saying. I just stood there, sat there in kind of disbelief. But it was a terrible experience for me because I had my ways of how things were supposed to be, and this wasn't one of them. Well, anyway, here I was trying to eat, and this kid all of a sudden gets mad, and he slams these stuff in his ear. And I'm trying to eat my meal, and he's got 10 pounds of these yams coming out of his ears, and then the parents give him Jell-O. Do you know that adults can't even eat Jell-O? And he's got Jell-O everywhere. Then he puts his hands towards me, and he starts jabbering to me and talking to me. And I say under my breath, and I'm whispering, don't you touch me, because if you do, I'll drop dead. I know it. That was before I had kids. After I had kids, I found my kids were just like that. And I had a wonderful lesson to learn. But, you know, even after that experience, it wasn't too long after I was married and I was in the delivery room, and it started with just the three of us. My wife was in the delivery room, I was there, the doctor was there, and I was right there. I wasn't in the lobby like some fathers had been in the past, but this was a new experience for me, and this was going to be something. And then the baby came, and all of a sudden there was four of us in the room. And things get crazy, and your mind goes in all kinds of different directions, and I run out of the room to call my wife and tell her what happened. Think about that a minute. She was there. You'll get it in a minute. Well, anyway, when I called, she wasn't home. Well, when my child was born, it was at that moment that I started crying. And I saw a miracle. I experienced something that has been more profound in my life than anything I've ever experienced before. I saw the love of the universe come into my life and my presence. And then the doctor said, do you want to hold him? And I thought, no, he looks slippery. If you've never seen a newborn, they look like they've been smeared with Vaseline. Well, here I am. I finally say yes. He puts the baby in my arms. I'm holding E.T. here. And he reaches out and he grabs my pinky. And as he grabbed my pinky, it was as if God reached into my soul and grabbed me and said, Jerry, the love that you're feeling right now, if you would multiply that times infinity, that's how much I love you. And I can't explain it, but at that moment, I experienced the profound love of God in a way that I've never experienced it before. Everything I had studied as a minister, everything I had heard, everything I knew seemed insignificant now, because it was here in God's presence that I experienced the profound love of God, and it was unbelievable. And that was just a glimpse, a reflection of the joy and the miracle and the love of the birth of Christ at Christmas. When we get our arms around God's love and know that it's personal, something happens to our soul. Something happens to our heart, and we live in a way not possible without God's touch upon our life. We live a different kind of life, a different understanding of life, a different understanding of who we are and why we are and what we are. I can live because God knows everything about me and He still loves me. I can live because even though I can't be all that I want to be and strive to be, God still loves me. His love for us is not based on whether we respond to it or not, or whether we live up to it or not, or whether we are all that we want to be. It is because God is love, and He makes possible what we can't make possible. His love is unconditional. He doesn't have things that you have to do before He will love you. There's no strings attached. The big idea is that God would love us if we were the only one here. God would still love us that way. I challenge you this Christmas. Share love with someone. Say to someone, and hopefully someone that maybe you've not shared love with before, and say, I love you. And mean it. Genuine. And especially say, I love you to those that you should be loving. And those that you should be giving love to. When you give true love away, you get a little glimpse of what God's love is for you. Strange way. I said God's ways are not our ways. When we love others, somehow we experience the love of God. You know, there's a recent story during the pandemic that reads more like a made-for-the-movie story. It's about a young woman who catches the COVID virus, which causes heart damage. And as she grows weaker, she lives on bottled oxygen. And finally, the doctor tells her and her family that, you know, actually she's beating the virus, but she can't live much longer because of the lasting effects of the damaged heart that the virus has caused. But the doctors had gotten together and they said if she could receive a heart transplant, maybe she would make it through this and maybe things would turn around. Well, in this story, it introduces a second young woman who's happily married. She and her husband are involved in a car accident during the busy travel. And she gets injured fatally. Her heart is salvaged and placed in the body of the young woman with the damaged heart that was caused by the coronavirus. And so this one woman dies, but this lady that needed a heart, she lives. Now, as the story goes on, the grieving husband begins to move back into life and work through his grief, and he finally goes back to work. He finally gets around friends again. He is being supported by them. One buddy invites him on a blind date eventually. And on that date, they're served by a waitress who happens to be the recipient of his dead wife's heart. Their eyes meet, and there's this chemistry and connection, and love begins to grow between the two of them. And eventually he invites her to dinner in his home. And while she's there and he's fixing dinner and she's walking around and looking at the things on the mantle and on the Christmas tree and different places in the house, and she finds a note, a thank you note, a letter that she wrote to the donor of her new heart. And she realizes, oh no, it was his wife, heart, that I received. And she didn't know what to do. She didn't know how to tell him or whether she should tell him, but finally she does. And he, in shock, falls back into grief. The shock is too great. He cannot bear that this woman is living with his beloved wife while she is dead. The cost is too much, the hurt too great. So she too, being shocked by the revelation, stunned by the ache in the man, and sees what it's her telling him about this, what had happened, even though she loved the man. So she says, I've got to disappear. And so she runs away. And working through his grief, he finally understands something greater than his grief, and he admits that he loves this woman. And he pursues her. And eventually they are reunited. And from the mixture of the pain and the joy, they're granted a gift of new life. And it all is possible because it became a love between them because of the sacrifice, the unbelievable sacrifice that was given to allow this woman to live. The gift of a new heart comes at Christmas. That is the Christmas story. That story parallels what God did in Jesus. And God sends this gift and says, it's something that you can hold in your hands. It's something that you can hold in your heart. Now, you can't package it, you can't put it up on a mantle, you can't display it in a way that somehow it becomes an object. You don't completely own it. All you can do is receive it and use it. And God blesses us at Christmas with that kind of gift. God blesses us with the gift of Jesus. And that gift can give us a new life. Some folks have trouble getting their hearts around this new gift that God wants us to have. I thought it was just a nice little story about a baby being born in Bethlehem and he couldn't find a room to sleep and that kind of thing. I thought that's what it was, but that's not what God wants you to hear. Some keep trying to hold on to this little object that they place on the mantle and they claim it as their property, but it's not that. It can only be experienced. It can only be lived. And God is here to show us how to do that. The words of Jesus come ringing down from heaven. I have come and give my life that you might have life. I love you. And that is God's gift at Christmas. Will you make room in your heart for God's love? Will you let Jesus love you? Christmas is about God sharing His love with us. And if you have not received Jesus into your life, you are not accepting God's love for you. God loves you, and He wants to share His love with you right now. In this moment, in this place, in this service, that's what Christmas is. Would you just pause right now? Open your heart and let Jesus love you. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, thank you for your love. We don't deserve it. We're not good enough. There's no reason that anything we've done you should love us. But you do. And I pray that this message will not just be another story, that it will be personal. That it won't just be inspirational, but that it will be transformational, because nothing else can change us like your love. May we be different people as we leave here today because of Christmas, and because you love us, and because we open our hearts to experience it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? Shepherds counting sheep at night, do not fear the glory light. You are precious in His sight. God has come to raise the lowly. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for His glory. Make room in your heart. Promise tight, every wrong will be made right. The road is straight, the burden's light, for in His hands He holds tomorrow. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams.